right. Thank you very much. I'm very glad for this opportunity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let me begin with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, the Apostle Paul is describing his gospel, the gospel he was not ashamed of, the gospel that's supposed to be preached throughout the whole world. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach, otherwise you have believed in vain. So if you just look at it, because of the word if, it becomes very clear that what he's talking about is a conditional security. So it says right here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach you, conditional security, and if not, what will happen? You will have believed in vain. It's possible for a Christian to believe in vain. I know the grace changers are saying something to the contrary, but the Apostle Paul, the real grace teacher, said you can believe in vain. Now, we hear from people all the time, and people take issue with what we're saying, and they say, well, what about the seal of the Holy Spirit? What about this thing called grace? Well, how I usually like to answer that is, if anybody knew about the seal of the Holy Spirit, it was certainly the Apostle Paul, because Paul was the one that wrote about the seal of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul said we're saved by grace in that same book, Ephesians. He spoke of the seal there. He spoke of us being saved by grace. And then in chapter 5 of Ephesians, again, it's the same book where he wrote about the seal and he said that we're saved by grace. In chapter 5, Ephesians 5, 5 through 7, he said, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient, therefore do not be partners with them. It says these are empty words that would teach contrary to what it says here. Paul said, don't let anybody deceive you with empty words. That's what these eternal security teachers are giving. Oh, it sounds so good. Doesn't it sound great the way they do it? Oh, you cannot out-sin the grace of God, says Charles Stanley. And John MacArthur teaches exactly the same way, but in different words. And of course, they would have to. They all believe, regardless what label they put on their doctrine. If they call it once saved, always saved, the eternal security, the perseverance of the saints. And sometimes they try to split hairs and say, oh no, mine's different than that one. But it really isn't, because they use the same arguments. And number two, they all say David retained his salvation when in adultery and murder. They all say you could backslide like King David did and retain your salvation. Come on, folks. If that's not a license for immorality, there is no license for immorality. Now listen, Jude said, he gave an emergency epistle. He wanted the Christians to take note of a very serious problem in his day. He wanted to write them about the salvation they share, but he said there's a more pressing need here. There's something much more important I have to bring out. He said these people have crept in among us, and they have changed grace into a license for immorality, and he identified them as ungodly people. So people get mad at us, and they think we're extreme, and they think all kind of unbiblical thoughts about us, and we show them what the Bible says. And if they believe it or not, well, it's up to them. We just give them scripture. And I remember especially there was a man that called here. He wanted to straighten me out. He said, I believe that you're right, but you're just too extreme. I believe that these eternal security teachers are Christian. I believe they're my brothers. And I said, well, you believe whatever you want. Jude 3 and 4 and other scriptures in Jude says those that change grace into a license for immorality are godless people. Blackest darkness is awaiting them. And they do not have the Spirit of God. That doesn't sound like a Christian to me. Now, folks, listen to me. There are all kind of problems in our day. We're in an apostasy. It's very rare to hear the Word of God. And I don't know what the problem is. People like to sit back and just hear something easy. They're not used to anything more than a 5 or 10 minute sermon. And they want something that's positive and nothing negative. Well, you need to get into the Bible. You need to read it, because if not, you're going to end up in hell. You might be the most religious person around, but you need to know what the truth is. You won't know what the truth is until you read it. And loving people raised me in the wrong religion. They were loving and caring people. They tried to do the best for me, but they were deceived. Folks, you need to read the Bible for yourself. And when you read the Bible for yourself, you'll find out that the Bible says those that change grace into a license for immorality, these are godless people. Now remember, Jesus said these wolves in sheep's clothing will come as sheep. And why do they do this? According to Jude, they rush for profit into Balaam's ear. There's all kind of money if you change grace. There's all kind of money in it. People want to hear it. They're going to flock to your church. You'll have a 10,000-member church. Charles Stanley has around 10 or 12,000, at least he did. And John MacArthur, 10 or 12,000. You get all over the radio, the publishers take your book. You're going to be popular. You get all kinds of speaking engagements. But when you preach holiness, I'm talking about the holiness that the Bible says. And it's this. You got to have a pure heart or you're not going to see God. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. And sin can defile you. When you repented, when you got saved, if you really did get saved, if you really did get changed, if you got set free from your sin addiction, your heart became purified by faith in Jesus. But that purified heart can get soiled. It can get contaminated. You can die spiritually according to the message of the Bible. So there's all kind of problems out there. All kind of problems out there, folks. All kind of things going on, sad to say. And these people are telling us, they're telling us, well, didn't Jesus say that no man will pluck you out of my hand, that you'll never perish in John 10:28? That's your favorite argument. Yes, absolutely. That's what Jesus taught. But the context is, according to the verse before, verse 27, that's John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. And that's a continuous tense, follow, in the Greek. So it's the ones that continuously follow Jesus that will never perish, that no man will pluck out of his hand. John 10:28 does not allow for the backslider to think he will never perish and never get plucked out of the Father's hand. But that is how the grace changers use that verse. They always misuse it. They distort it. And folks, what they teach is an excuse for sin. It's a license for immorality. Just like Jude said. It says there in the Bible about these people. And there's a whole book of the Bible written about these once-saved, always-saved teachers. Imagine that. A whole book of the New Testament. There's 27 books in the New Testament, and one of them is written about those that change grace into a license for immorality. So what are you doing about it? The Bible says we're to earnestly contend for the faith against those that change grace. It's not talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses there, although, of course, they're teaching wrongly. It's not talking about the Mormons. Of course, they're teaching wrongly as well. It's talking about people that attack grace. They distort grace into something it's not. But I want to bring you back over here to Ephesians 5, 5 through 7, because Paul taught you could out-sin the grace of God. Paul taught, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, let no one deceive you, let no one deceive you, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient, disobedient, disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Just the other day, I was in a grocery store. I handed a salvation tract to a dear, sweet old lady, 87 years of age. We were talking about God. Then a man came along, and I didn't understand why he was waiting there. He wanted to get some groceries right behind us. So I stepped aside, and him and I started talking a little while later. And it wasn't very long before he said, now listen to this. He portrayed the Christian life as one in where you sin all the time. In other words, you don't obey. You cannot obey, according to him. And that's somewhat typical out there. These grace changers, they have distorted the image of the Apostle Paul. They have smeared him in Romans 7:14 through 25. And they say that's the typical Christian life. And verse 19 says, if that's the typical Christian life, verse 19 is saying the Apostle Paul continuously did evil. Now, folks, come on. Come on. The Apostle Paul was the greatest example of Christianity ever. And if you're acquainted with the New Testament, you know he continuously did good. He did what was right. He was walking in God's will. The Apostle Paul said of he himself, he had a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And yet these grace changers want to smear the Apostle Paul. Because if Paul walked holy, then really you and I could walk holy. And they don't like that idea. They want to make excuses for sin. They're changing grace. Their grace allows for adultery and drunkenness and theft and lying and witchcraft and slander. Now, Revelation 21:8. The cowardly, unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice the magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, folks, you don't have to murder a person to go to hell. Did you hear that? You don't have to be a drunkard. You don't have to be a witch to go to hell. But there's a ton of people out there that think you could be a Christian and still get involved in witchcraft and drunkenness. There's people out there that think that they're Christian and they're addicted to pornography. They're not. They're adulterers. Jesus said, if you lust in your heart after another, you commit adultery. And then the next verse, Matthew 5:29. He said it's better for you to gouge your eye out than to end up in hell. So Jesus taught mental adultery through pornography will damn you. Folks, it's time to shut the TV off. TV is a lust generator. It's right from the devil. It's one of the greatest tools the devil has. If you're serious about entering the kingdom of God, shut that godless thing down.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. They blaspheme the holy name of Jesus on TV. They instill worldly motives and goals and ambitions. They teach people subtly how to lie and deceive. It's the opposite of the message of what the Bible says. Now, folks, you're talking something serious here. It's so serious, I truly believe, that we would go crazy if we really understood what we're dealing with. This is very, very, very serious. The Apostle Paul said, there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. And I wonder how many people out there are striving always, putting forth effort continuously to keep your conscience clear before God and man. The Apostle Paul, the real grace teacher, did. Why? He said there's going to be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Of both the righteous and the wicked. In other words, this is a salvation issue, folks. And these people say, well, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Well, folks, if you're a sinner, you need to repent. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. It's the righteous that enter the kingdom of God. If you're walking with God, if you're following Him, if you're obeying Him, the Bible says you're righteous. And listen to this. Oh, how they like to use the phrase eternal salvation. It's only found one time in the Bible, and that's Hebrews 5:9. It says, He, that's Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation for those who obey Him. So what does that do to these people that think, well, I sin all the time? I sin continuously. Everybody sins all the time. Well, they just disqualify themselves from eternal salvation. Hebrews 5:9 says that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation for those that obey Him. And they're saying they disobey Him. And I like to ask people that say that they sin all the time, don't you believe that you can resist the devil and he'll flee? Don't you believe you can crucify the flesh and live according to the Spirit? Why do you think the Bible says in so many places, in so many words, to obey if you can't obey? And sin is the opposite of obedience. So, you see, grace has been distorted. It has been changed. And these savage wolves in sheep's clothing are a major problem why so many will get picked off. Remember what I said earlier. Difficult is the road that leads to life. Hard is the road that leads to life. Matthew 7:14. And few there will be who will enter. Few. Few in contrast to many. Most people will go to hell, folks. Did you hear that? The universalists will tell us everybody's going. No, 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 no. Only the minority will go. Back in Noah's day, there were only 8 people in the ark. All the others perished. All the others were lost. There were only 8 people that were saved. And folks, it's been estimated, because they lived so many years, there were 1 billion people on the planet back then when the great flood came. So that means 8 people out of 1 billion were saved. So if you think you're going to go ahead, blend in with the world to avoid the persecution, and just kind of fraternize with the blasphemers, you know, kind of kick back, look at the porn, tell a few dirty jokes yourself, not only listen to them, kind of just blend in, you know, be a good old guy. Well, you're going to find yourself in the good old flames of hell, looking back and regretting, realizing you were deceived. Folks, you're talking about something big. You have an opportunity to rule and reign with God forever, to sit on his throne forever. This is a testing God. You're not going to get in, folks, unless you get zealous. If you're lukewarm, he's going to vomit you out of his body. If you're not bringing forth good fruit, you are going to get cut down by God and thrown into the fire. Persecution can take you out, and that's why Jesus wanted his disciples to know. You're going to be hated. And folks, if you make a stand for Jesus, and you better, if you make a stand for Jesus, there are some people that will hate you. Some people at this moment in time will kind of smile at you. Some people will kind of respect you. But there are people out there, and I know, there are people out there that will hate you. And Jesus said you're going to have to endure that to the end to be saved. I don't believe he was joking. I believe he was telling the truth. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, and then verse 33. Jesus said, if you disown Jesus before man, he's going to disown you before the Father. And don't say that can't happen, because it happened to Peter. Peter disowned Jesus. So guess what happened? Jesus disowned Peter. You know how I know Jesus disowned him? Because Jesus said he would. Jesus always keeps his promises. He always keeps his warnings. Jesus said to that same group, that if you disown me before men, I'll disown you before the Father. And that happened clearly in Peter's case 3 times, and we know for sure that Jesus disowned him. That happened fast, folks. It wasn't over a prolonged time period. There are some people out there that teach, well, you got to practice adultery. You got to habitually be drunk. You got to have lifestyle child molestation. It's not one act of murder. It's not one act of disowning Jesus. Why not? Why wouldn't it be one act of disowning Jesus? Jesus didn't say there in Matthew 10:33 that you have to make a lifestyle practice of it. He's warning these disciples. He's sending them out to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper. And he said these things are going to happen. All these problems are going to occur. And if you disown me before men, I'll disown you before the Heavenly Father. And it happened. It actually happened to Peter. So that blows away this theory, well, if you're truly saved, you'd never disown Jesus, because Peter was already saved before he did that. So, folks, we're dealing with something very intense. And it's going to get much more intense. The wrath of God is on this country. This country is in trouble. Big, big trouble. It's going down the tubes and very fast. And you're going to have to get into the Word. You have to get built up spiritually. All kind of people concerned about this or that or something other than the spiritual aspect of our day. Folks, the number one most important thing is your soul. Your soul is your most valuable possession. It's more valuable than your bank account. It's more valuable than your health and your reputation. Your soul. What shall a man gain if he gains the entire world and loses himself and is cast away? You're not going to gain anything. You're going to end up in the fires of hell. So, folks, you got to guard your heart. You got to look at it spiritually. There's all kind of things happening. All kind of deceit. People don't even know that the devil can perform miracles. God does that too. God performs miracles, but the devil can do that. The devil can send visions. Did you hear that, folks? There's all kind of false religions that exalt visions. What the tipping scale for me in the Catholic Church was the Fatima Portugal vision. The Fatima Portugal vision says that Mary is our refuge and the way that will lead us to God. Folks, when I found out that the devil can do that kind of thing, I realized, aha, all of a sudden that makes sense, because the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father except by me. And then you find out that other groups also claim visions, like the Mormons and the Seventh-day Adventists and all kind of others, and they contradict one another. Folks, you got to go by the Bible. Go by the Bible. Go by the Bible. The Bible is final authority. It's not what you think. It's not what you feel. It's not what you'd like to believe. It's what does the Bible say. I remember I went to the post office one day, and two young boys pulled up in a car, and I walked over, handed them a Salvation tract. And the one young man in the passenger side told me that he was a Christian, that he was the son of a Baptist minister. And because he said that, I right away brought up this issue called once saved, always saved. And he says, absolutely, he does believe once saved, always saved. I said, why do you believe that? He says, well, John 3:16 says as it does. That's why I believe that. And I said to him, did you know that John 3:16 says that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, that's continuous tense, whoever believes, continuous tense, believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life? And he's just staring at me. It's not a moment of faith, folks. It's a living faith. It's a faith that continues, a faith that stays with him. But that faith, a saving faith, can be destroyed. It can become shipwrecked. And like Jesus said in Luke 8:13, some believe for a while, in time of testing they fall away. It can't cease to exist, so you decide. You have to come out from among them. You have to do things to guard your heart. I'm saying shut off any music that is not based on the Bible. All secular music needs to be trashed, especially rock and roll. That kind of stuff is right from the pit of hell. It's glaringly evil. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful deeds of darkness. I'm saying Halloween. This kind of garbage. I can't understand how Christians could have anything to do with something so obviously wicked as Halloween. But that's only part of the problem in our day. Everywhere you turn, it's just absolutely unbelievable the depth of the darkness that we are in, this apostasy. But that's the way it has to be before the Antichrist comes to the forefront. And folks, if we are that generation when he comes, you better not take the mark of the beast. That's going to be the pressure, because you won't be able to buy or sell without the mark.
Uh-oh.
And if you take that mark, you're going to the lake of fire. You must endure. You must stay with Jesus. You must stay with him. And a lot of people think, because of the grace changes, all sin's the same, they say. All sin's the same. In other words, to them, worry's just as bad as adultery. And I've heard them actually teach that. That adultery and worry's just the same. You know, tickling ears. Make people think, well, go ahead. You could be sexually immoral. God will still accept you. He loves you. Well, folks, the issue is, do you love him? It's not if God loves you. Do you love God? And if you love God, you're going to obey God. And it's not an issue, is God faithful? Are you faithful? They have switched it. They've twisted it. That's what they do. They put the emphasis in the wrong spot. We're supposed to love God. We're supposed to be faithful to God. But they want to tickle ears. You see, there's money involved here. There's popularity. There's speaking engagements. There's all kind of these temporal things. Just like the Bible says will occur, has occurred, people have turned their ears from the truth. They've turned aside to mythology. They got itching ears. They want somebody to tickle their ears, and they found all kind of teachers, many of them, that's willing to do it. It's not just one or two or 10 or 21. You're talking hundreds and hundreds and thousands and thousands. This is the established gospel of our day. eternal security. That's how it's taught. It's actually connected with the gospel. And it's a heresy. It's a doctrine of demons. It's a snare to your soul. If you think you're standing firm, watch out. You will fall, according to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. So, folks, this is not playtime. It says right here in 1 Peter 1, 9, you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Did you hear that? This is written to people that had been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. It says, you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Well, what happens if something interferes? What happens if something happens before you actually get in the kingdom, like we see many times in the Bible? Many times in the Bible. And many times in Jesus' salvation teachings did we see that. Well, what happens? Well, guess what? You're going to get off the road to life and back on the road to hell again, like the prodigal. The prodigal was saved before he wandered astray. You know how I know? Because in Luke 15:24, my son was dead, he's alive again. It says he's alive again. He's alive again. So he had life, he became dead and lost, and he became alive again when he repented. He turned from his wickedness to come back to the Father to serve him. That's when he became alive again. And if you are a backslider, become alive again. You got to repent. You got to let go of those sins. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a time, a short time. That's all. It's not worth it, folks. No sin's worth going to hell over. No person's worth going to hell over. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what good is it? And folks, listen to this. There's no secret sin. There's no secret sin. You think you're doing something and getting away with it. You're deceived. You're the one deceived. There's no secret sin. God knows all about it. He knows the motive behind every word that you speak, every action you do. He knows everything about you. You better get clean before him. Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. If you actually think you're going to see God, you're going to get in his kingdom and not have a pure heart. Folks, you have been lethally deceived. Repent. I'm talking repent for your soul's sake, for salvation's sake. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's Revelation 21:27. You're not going to get in, folks. You're not going to get in if you're described like this as an impure person, one that's doing what's shameful or deceitful. You're not going to get in. You're going to end up outside the city. You go outside the city, you know that where that is? That's the lake of fire. The lake of fire where the devil and the demons are going to be, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be. You're going to end up in there forever with them. There's no annihilation of the wicked dead. You're going to be there forever and ever and ever instead of God's paradise kingdom. Remember that thief that repented as Jesus was dying? That thief said, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Folks, there's a paradise kingdom that can be yours. It can be yours. Just like that man at the end of his life. Thank God he repented. He got his heart pure. And he entered that paradise kingdom. I know because Jesus said so. But folks, it could happen the other way. At the end of your life, you can recant. You can disown Jesus. You can deny the faith and go back. You could fall away. Folks, you got to endure to the end. You have to endure to the end or you're not going to get in. You are not going to get in according to the message of the Bible. I would like to believe otherwise, but that's not the message of the Bible. All men will hate you because of me. He that endures to the end will be saved is what the Bible says. Now, some people will say, well, what about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish? Well, what about them? Notice, 5 of them, that's 50% out of the last generation. I said 50%, 5 out of 10, that's 1 out of 2. They're lamps stop burning. Their lamp went out. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. That's Matthew 25, verse 12. He did not say, I never knew you. He never said in Matthew 25, verse 12, I never knew you. Of course, he knew these people. They had a lamp burning. They were a virgin. But their lamp burned out. They didn't persevere. They didn't endure. They didn't last. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. You see, in Luke 12:35, Jesus said, be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. That's your command too, folks. You're to keep your own lamp burning. It's not legalism. It's not heresy. If it is, then Jesus taught heresy. It's Jesus that said, be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. See, those foolish virgins didn't. They didn't keep their lamp burning. And Jesus said, I don't know you. Imagine that. He knew him at one time, but didn't know him anymore. This is serious. And if you're playing a game of tiddlywinks, folks, you're not going to make it. Listen to this. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Well, you see, the Bible says we have salvation. But there's another aspect of salvation that we don't quite have yet until we actually enter God's kingdom. And if you don't endure to the end, you're not going to get it. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. That's Romans 13, verse 11. This is very important for you to understand the Christian life. Between initial and final salvation, there's all kinds of things that occur. Good things that can get you puffed up in pride and take you out that way. Bad things that can cause you to get unforgiving and bitter and hateful. So you're going to have to guard your heart. This is a raging war. Now, these people say, well, what about the wheat and the tares? The wheat and the tares, you can't tell them apart. Now, come on. Read what Jesus said. They could tell the tares from the wheat. They could make that distinction. And you can tell who the child of God is from the child of the devil. And the only reason they say you can't tell is because they think there are two types of drunkards, two types of adulterers, two types of thieves, two types of liars, two types of witches, two types of Hindus. They think one is saved because of a past moment of faith when they were regenerated. The other one is not saved because he never had that past moment of faith. But folks, a Christian is a person that's following Jesus. Remember what Jesus said. I referred to the verse earlier. John chapter 10, verse 27. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. They follow Jesus. Ephesians 5:24 says, the church submits to Christ. So if you're not following Jesus and submitting to Christ, you're not his sheep. You're not part of the church. Jesus said his spiritual family, Luke 8:21, my mother and brothers are those that hear the word of God and they put it into practice. And going inside of a church building is not good enough. You can go inside that church building all you want. Demon-possessed people went inside the synagogue in Jesus' day. Folks, it's from your heart you're going to have to follow Jesus. James 2 says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So you can say all you want that you believe on Jesus. Oh, I'm a believer in Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Do you really? Do you really? If you love Jesus, you're obeying him. And if you're believing on Jesus, you're obeying him. And if you're his sheep, you're following him. And if you're part of the church, you're submitted to him. And if you're a spiritual family, you're putting into practice what he said. You don't even know what he said. You think it's just good enough to go inside the church building. Well, going inside of a garage doesn't make you a car, and going inside the church building surely will not make you a Christian. You're going to have to get serious with God, folks. If not, Jesus is going to vomit you out of his body. He shed his blood for you, died for you, wants you with him forever in his kingdom. But you're not going to get in. You're not worthy of him. Did you hear that? You're not worthy of him. Well, somebody takes issue. What are you talking about? Nobody's worthy of him. Nobody's worthy of him. You're wrong. That's not what Jesus said. He said there are people that's worthy of him. He spoke of those that didn't soil their clothes. They'll walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. And listen to this, folks. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus could actually see their sin. The grace changers, under their distorted understanding of imputed righteousness, have told us when God looks at us, the Christian, all he sees is the blood, all he sees is Jesus, all he sees is grace, and he can't see sin. Well, how come Jesus could see their sin? He could see their lukewarmness that they tolerated Jezebel. You see, we've been lied to. The grace changers got the platform. Ministry is not a popularity contest. I know most people view it contrary to that. But the Bible says if you're in ministry, you're supposed to preach the Word of God. The Word of God will build up the saints. It'll warn them. It'll strengthen them. It'll encourage them. But the sinner that like their sin and they don't want to let go of that wickedness, they're going to rebel. They're going to slander you. They're going to distort what you said like they did the Apostle Paul or Jesus. Imagine this. Those of you that have been slandered, what about Jesus? There's people back in Jesus' day, they actually said Jesus had a demon. Imagine that. You're talking the sinless Son of God, God in the flesh. And these people actually said, as wicked as they were, that Jesus had a demon. And Jesus said, no servant's greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. He said they're going to persecute you. And folks, if you haven't been persecuted, there's something wrong with your walk. There's something wrong. Something very, very wrong. Now, listen to this. There's one right here that'll stir things. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Now I'm writing you, you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral, greedy, an idolater, or a slanderer, or a drunkard, a swindler, with such a man do not even eat. That's 1 Corinthians 5:11. What a destroyer that verse is to those that teach that the Corinthians were drunkards, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, you name it. That's how they teach the carnal Christian. Well, the real truth is that the Church of Corinth were not these things, and they were told not to associate with anyone that calls himself a brother, a Christian brother, and is these things. And that goes for us. And as I mentioned earlier, tolerating Jezebel is a serious thing in Jesus' eyes. Tolerating Jezebel. Are you tolerating the grace changers? You know what really gets me? This is what really gets me. There's people out there that say, oh, I hate that doctrine called once saved, always saved. But they tolerate the grace changers. They buddy up with them. Folks, listen to me. They're the enemy. They get the wrong gospel. They're preaching the wrong message. They're a stumbling block. They're hindering people from entering the kingdom. They're not repenting in their sin. They're turning to wickedness and staying in wickedness because they think they can. Now, here's the joke. Here's the joke, and it's not on God. God's not going to be mocked. God won't be mocked. What a man sows, he's going to reap. And if you sow according to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction and damnation. And to reap eternal life, according to what Paul said, you're going to have to sow to please the Spirit of God. And I just refer to Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. I didn't make it up, folks. That's what Paul wrote, the real grace teacher. These people, the grace changers, the eternal security teachers, these people that preach Calvinism, they're trying to mock God. They got people thinking you could sow to please the sinful nature and still reap eternal life. That's a lie from hell. And especially the way they teach the sin unto death. Their distorted and demonic version of the sin unto death is the Christian backslides, remains unrepentant, and God deals with him, and God in his anger because they won't repent, kills that unrepentant adulterer, witch, drunkard, bank robber, murderer, child molester, and then takes them to heaven. Well, folks, if that's not a license for immorality, what is a license for immorality. Dave Hunt and all the rest of them, D. James Kennedy, the Calvinists, people that say they're not Calvinists, they all teach the sin unto death the same wicked way. It's an attempt to mock God, and God's not going to be mocked. And if you think you could go ahead and sin, live like the devil and enter God's kingdom, you're trying to mock God. The joke's on you, folks. You're going to go to hell. You're going to have to repent. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. If you don't have a pure heart, you'll never see God. If you die with an impure heart, in hell, in fiery torment, in all that pain and regret and weeping and gnashing of teeth, you will never see God. Heaven is prepared by the holy God for holy people. Holy. Holiness. Be holy for he is holy. Why do you think it says that? Why do you think Jesus said follow him? Why do you think all the warnings that we're not to be deceived? The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes through a string of lists of sinful people that are wicked, that will not inherit the kingdom in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Why do you think it says that? It says don't be deceived. Well, what about all these deceived people around? And then you got a heretic, a bold heretic, like Chuck Swindoll, that wicked man on radio actually said, you can disown Jesus, but he won't disown you. That makes my blood boil. Exactly the opposite of what Jesus taught. Jesus said in Matthew 10:33, if you disown him before man, he'll disown you before the Father. But that didn't hurt Chuck Swindoll. Not at all. All kind of people bought his ear-tickling tape, his distortion of the Word of God. Oh, they just loved it. He twisted the Word of God and made every excuse for sin, as do all of them. They all do. It's only surface holiness. These people that say, well, if you turn to sin, you're never saved to begin with, they have a double message, folks. A double message. None of those same people will ever say David was never saved to begin with because he turned to adultery and murder. Did you hear that? Remember what I just said. None of them will say that David was never saved to begin with, or Solomon was never saved to begin with because in his latter years his heart turned to idolatry. They all would say, and they try to avoid both of those people, they all would say that David retained his salvation and Solomon retained his salvation. Even though the Bible is crystal clear that idolaters will go to the lake of fire in Revelation 21:8, they distort the Word of God to uphold their tradition and their false doctrine rather than preach the message of the Bible. And it's not just to the hurt of the people out there that are going to believe that lie. It's also for their own hurt. How are you going to preach a false gospel and escape being accursed? Galatians 1:8-9 says, if you preach another gospel, let him be condemned, let him be accursed, let him be damned to hell, was what it says. And we already know what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firm to the word I preach, otherwise you believed in vain. That is not their gospel. That is not their grace. That is not their version of a Christian's responsibility. It says in Psalm 125, verse 5, those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with evildoers. Not in our day. That's not their message. You can turn to all the crooked ways you want, and the Lord loves you, and the Lord's keeping you, and the Lord's faithful to you. And you'll never perish, and he gives you eternal life, and blah, 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 blah. It's all empty words, folks. Take warning. He that endures to the end will be saved. Jesus wasn't joking. Jesus was not joking.
That's right. People, you've been hearing truth tonight. We've got 11 minutes left to the show, and we just wanted to pray that those of you that are hearing Daniel, brother, thank you. My heart goes out to you tonight, and I ask that the Father would just so bless you and use you even more than he already has. And I just thank God. I thank Yahweh so much for this message of truth that has gone over the airways, and God's word will not come back void. We want to just open up a time. It's good when I don't see nobody calling to get on the show for a question. It's good when I see people in the chat room and they are just being encouraged. And I know you're all listening on the computers too. You don't have to log in for me to see it and know that you're listening. And this is not a mistake that you are hearing this message tonight. You've been living in hell. You've been living in sin. And you've been lied to, beloved. You've been lied to that it's okay that you already received Jesus and that you're going to still go to heaven. You won't just get that extra stone in your crown. You will be in that bigger house, or you won't have that greater kingdom. You know, you're going to make it in. You know, you'll make it. That's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And right now, we just want to pray with you. I want to ask my guest. I want to ask you, Brother Dan. We have 9.5 minutes left. Would you? I feel the passion in you, and I'm going to be right here praying too, but I want you to pray from your heart like you would on the street. I've seen you preach on the street. Pray for the people that have been lied to, Father, to be restored to the Father. Go ahead, brother.
All right, I'm going to do that. But when people say that to me out on the streets, I tell them that they need to pray for themselves. I'm going to pray for you, folks, but you need to pray for yourself. You need to pray to God, God have mercy on me, a sinner. You need to drop down on your knees and humbly cry out from your heart that God would show you mercy. You have turned away from him. You have lived in a vile manner. You have served the devil. And it's time to wake up. You need to humble yourself. Go to him. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask that the things that were spoken here would touch the hearts of the people out there that were listening. Touch their heart, Father. Wake them up. Remove the blinders from their eyes. Help them to see the seriousness of this. Help them to realize they can be one heartbeat away from hell if they would die right now. Strike their heart with fear, God. Bring Holy Ghost conviction down upon them. Help them to recognize the seriousness of this. They must turn from sin. They must get committed to Jesus. Help them, Lord, to stop playing a church game and get dead serious with the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, you know, I don't hesitate. I hope that you will just cry out to the Lord. On July 27th, 1985, I asked the Lord to come into my life in the living room when I got back from an all night of dealing drugs, doping my face off and slutting around. I'm just a keep it real person, Brother Dan. That's how I talk to my people. That's just what I was. And I cried out and I said, I can't take this anymore. I nearly died in a car wreck on the way home, and I knew God, born a Jew, raised a Catholic, I knew God, but I didn't have relationship. And I said, if you can get me home, save God. Didn't even know his name. I'll do something with my life. Let me tell you, when you cry out to the Lord, when you cry out to Adonai and you say you are sorry and you need his help and you really, 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 really mean it, he will come in and he will change your life. And that you need to read your word every day. You need to pray, talk with him like we're talking right now every day. You need to find somebody that believes what you believe in. Cut off all the trash that you're hanging out with. I mean, come on now. They're going to rub back off on you. You need to separate yourself for a season. I didn't go back to the drug dens when I first got saved. I separated myself and I spent times with the Lord and I read his word. Beloved, this was given to you out of love. Dan, my brother, I just thank God for you. If you are listening to this show, you know, either in the archives or right now, and you're wanting to get this book, The Believer's Conditional Security is another one. The Myth of Eternal Security. You can call 724-632-3210. You can get a copy of the books. Awesome. This has just been an awesome, awesome teaching tonight. We thank you for coming onto this show and listening to us. Surrender everything to the Lord. Surrender everything. Brother Dan, I thank you for coming on the show tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, Patricia. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a real privilege and an honor to be here.
Same here. The privilege was ours, brother.